I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Soft power seduction. Well, young Taiwanese entrepreneurs working in startup hubs have been offered attractive sweeteners, but this isn't California or even Taipei. It's on the outskirts of Shanghai. The People's Republic of China is setting its sights on Taiwan's youth by encouraging them to relocate to the mainland. We have this special documentary report on this soft power seduction that's taking place, produced and presented by Caroline Bailey.
I'm in Yi Chun Chen and Yan Lu's small rented flat in the center of the city. It's a Saturday afternoon, and they've been joined by their friend Chi Chu, who's only recently arrived in China. They're in a relaxed mood, and the three of them laugh a lot as we talk about what brought them here.
I started my internship in Alibaba in Hangzhou, and I do it because I'm interested in the internet by my career.
Because Alibaba is the huge internet company in China, isn't it?
And then I went back to Taiwan and finished my master's degree, and then some Shanghai company, design agencies, recruited me, so I came back here to start my first career here.
Actually, I just relocated to Shanghai like last month from Taiwan, and I was working in Japanese consulting company, and we have both an office in Taipei and Shanghai. And the reason I choose to come here is because of the prosperity here.
Yi Chun is almost 30, the oldest of the three. She studied in London before moving to China. As we chat, she strokes her brown and white cat, who's happily asleep on her lap.
I moved here because there's a bigger market here, especially for museum design industries, which is the industry I'm in. Of course, there are more funds and more interest in building new cultural institutes and facilities.
Relations between Taiwan and China are strained. Beijing considers the self-ruled Democratic Island to be a wayward province, which it would like to reclaim, if necessary, by force. However, Taiwan currently has a more pro-independence government. Taiwan's growth rate, though, is much slower than China's, and wages have stagnated. And this is proving an ideal opportunity for China to set its sights on the youth of Taiwan, students, entrepreneurs, and job seekers. How do your salaries here in Shanghai compare with what you think you would be earning in Taiwan? Yen?
For me, I guess double or triple, I think. Yeah. Because the salary here accelerate very fast once you can prove your potential.
Probably double.
I would say almost double. It's not just the higher salary that brought me here. It's more experience, more stimulation, and frankly, more exciting city.
New graduates in Taiwan are earning little more today than two decades ago. So it's not surprising that the job market in China looks attractive. And it's straightforward. They don't need a visa. They simply apply for China's special travel permit for Taiwanese. Tong Lee Chun specialises in Taiwan issues and cross-strait relations at the Chinese state-funded think tank, the Shanghai Institute for International Studies. She's an advisor to both local and central government. We talked in a formal meeting room with lavishly upholstered yellow chairs and plush carpets.
Shanghai has a lot of preferential policies for Taiwanese people, including the Shanghai City Law protecting the rights of Taiwanese compatriots, allowing their children to receive education here, as well as providing social welfare. There's also a base encouraging entrepreneurship for people from Taiwan, the one in Jinshan as well as Yangpu.
And the entrepreneurship base in Jinshan is somewhere I'll be visiting later in the programme. Since the late 80s, traditional Taiwanese manufacturers have been able to operate in mainland China. But in February this year, China released a wide-ranging package of 31 incentive measures designed to open up markets further to Taiwan businesses and also to individuals, encouraging students and academics to move to the mainland, as well as offering help to entrepreneurs and making it easier to work in China. But is all this part of a soft power offensive, and is it making a difference to young people?
I think that from the policy perspective, young people have a free choice. But after they arrive in mainland China, it's about an experience. In terms of cross-strait integration development, it's a case of you exist in my life and I exist in yours. This is a very important aspect.
Does that mean that you want to see economic integration and full integration, reunification?
Integration, economic integration already exists. There are also a lot of exchanges between the two sides. But the fact that more and more Taiwanese young people have the experience of living, working, or setting up businesses in the mainland doesn't necessarily lead to reunification. It's the state of pre-reunification. It's about creating the concept of one big family across the strait.
I'm heading out of the centre of Shanghai now on a busy dual carriageway, and either side of the road is tower block after tower block, densely packed wherever you look and as high as you can imagine. I'm on my way to the Jingshan base. It's one of the incubators for startup companies.
Shanghai Jingshan Cross Strait Youth Entrepreneurship Base. It was established in year 2015 from Taiwan and mainland.
As we've already heard, this base was set up to encourage entrepreneurship by young people from Taiwan alongside mainland Chinese. There are 40 startups from Taiwan so far, a quarter of the total, and I'm currently on a very enthusiastic tour.
Yes, this is the open space. So every startup company employees can sit here, have a discussion with the customers or colleagues. Yeah.
A TV is flicked on and up comes a report from Taiwan. It's all about a competition that the Jingshan base runs to attract would-be entrepreneurs. And there are cash prizes to be won of up to $30,000.
This is one of the winner projects. Yeah.
And what is it? It looks like a huge vending machine.
Yes, it's a vending machine, yes.
Noodles.
It's a pork. This is beef. Which one you like?
I'll have the beef.
A beef.
I'm having a demonstration of a noodle vending machine. And this vending machine has been made by a startup here, which was a collaboration between someone from mainland China, someone from Taiwan, and someone from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Want to have a try a little bit?
Very good.
Really?
We've come upstairs to an open workspace.
Hello, what's your name?
My name is Asta. We have three people in our company. We're all from Taiwan, and we are all talking about food. Mm-hmm. We got everything about eating in our social media platform.
Why did you come here?
The market is bigger than in Taiwan.
What have they offered you here at Jingshan?
补助.
Incentives.
Yeah, incentives, yes. Like living fees.
So they don't have to pay the full price for the monthly rental.
Yeah.
We pay part of it, and they personally pay part of it.
Partially, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. And also we have a free working space here. And also a lot of helps regarding starting a company here.
So will you stay long term?
Yes, we are thinking about it, but we need to see how our startup's going, yes.
I asked Dong Qi, who's the Communist Party's deputy secretary in the Jingshan Industrial Zone and a vice general manager, whether you get more incentives if you're from Taiwan.
It's more about the status of being a Chinese national. We give them a level playing field. People on both sides of the Taiwan Strait are part of the same family.
And are they keen to move to the mainland, the young people from Taiwan?
The trend is obvious. Over recent years, the mainland's economic development and Taiwan's economic downturn form a rather obvious contrast.
Last year, Taiwan, with a population of just 23 million, saw its economy grow by 2.8%. Meanwhile, China's grew by 6.9%, according to official Chinese figures.
The market here is a big population of 1.3 billion. This is a dream place for entrepreneurs from any place on earth. So, of course, Taiwan and its young people are no exception.
There are no exact figures for the number of young Taiwanese people in China, but Taiwan's government says a million of its citizens are living there, and 56% of all Taiwanese working overseas are in China. Dong Qi at Jinshan stresses that there's no political pressure behind what's being offered to young people from Taiwan, a sentiment also emphasised by Tong Li Chun at the Shanghai Institute for International Studies. But there's one thing she's adamant about.
If Taiwanese people have had a track record of promoting Taiwan independence, this is unwelcome. If they support Taiwan independence on the one hand and come and enjoy the preferential policies on the other, this is contradictory from my point of view.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Xuan. Chinese name is Zhi Xuan Liao. I'm come from Taipei.
Shem was, in fact, the first entrepreneur to move into the Jinshan base. She's in her 20s and looks young with a floppy fringe and wears scruffy jeans. She already had a business in Taipei, but wanted to set up a fruit and vegetable trading company in China, Putty City Farmer. She admits she's become a bit of a poster girl for the entrepreneurship base and has her own large office there.
I was empty-handed at that time, but they told me they could help me set up a company, and it was free. In Taiwan, much of this would have to be done by yourself. When I compare the mainland and Taiwan, Jinshan has given me better and more relevant assistance.
Will you stay here on the mainland, or will you go back to Taiwan to live?
I think I'll stay in Shanghai until I retire. Taiwan is internationally weak. The Taiwanese government is not active in helping young entrepreneurs. And some outdated Taiwanese laws are not in line with what entrepreneurs think. If we stay in Taiwan, we would be left behind.
Do you think there will be one China?
I think one China will come very soon. I mean, legally. That's my personal feeling. Because not long ago, the Chinese Communist Party changed the law to allow President Xi to extend his rule indefinitely. We've observed for a few months since then that he's kept stepping up efforts against Taiwan. We believe he will accomplish his mission in the near future. Politically and culturally, Taiwan is inclined towards the US. Therefore, I think there is going to be some sort of fierce resistance. Of course, we want to resolve all this peacefully. Cross-strait peace is something we want to sustain.
So here we are. This is the Rainbow Chapel. The facade is made of glass.
Let's go in. Oh, wow. It's a bit like being inside a kaleidoscope.
Yes, that's one of the...
I'm with Yi Chun, who we met at the beginning of the programme. She's the one who works in museum design, and we're admiring the colourful glass chapel at a project she's involved with, the Shanghai Museum of Glass. Outside, we sit down on a bench to talk further about her life in mainland China.
How is it being away from Taiwan makes me realise I'm Taiwanese. Not just because I'm in China now, but also when I was in London and when I was in Barcelona.
So do you feel that you can separate economics and job opportunities from politics?
Right now, yes.
Do you think that if more younger people come to mainland China from Taiwan for jobs, for opportunities and settle here, do you think that is going to almost inevitably lead to full reunification?
I don't think that's going to be inevitable. Whether it's going to be reunification or independence, this is a problem that has to be resolved by both sides. And communication is the key in here. So I think this trend to move to China and work in China, more communication between two sides, is actually a very good step.
Do you feel it's a sort of soft power politics that's being played out?
Yeah, a little bit, because now it's like they have this military action on the one side, and on the other side they have this policies that encourage people to kind of come here and, you know, like a soft power.
One thing that strikes you in China is how careful and diplomatic everyone is around politically sensitive topics, such as Taiwan. And not everyone wanted to give their full names. Unlike mainland China, democratic Taiwan has a free press, and reconciling the two contrasting political systems isn't easy for everyone. Just before leaving Shanghai, I met up with Julie in a restaurant. She's older than most of my interviewees and moved from Taiwan to Shanghai 11 years ago as country manager for a large multinational retailer. Like many in Taiwan, she has mainland Chinese heritage. Her father moved to the island during the Chinese Civil War. Julie loves Shanghai, but she has a grown-up son in Taipei who says he won't be leaving Taiwan for China. And that's a bone of contention between them.
He studied journalism in the States. In his mind, he's more like a liberal. Freedom is the most important thing for him. He can die, you know, if there's no freedom for him. That's what he said to me, which got me very mad.
Julie welcomes the help China is giving young Taiwanese people willing to move to the mainland.
I'm glad they are doing this, you know, so at least people in Taiwan still have some future, some hope.
They're not just doing it out of goodwill, surely.
Of course, they have some other purpose, right? I understand that. But I don't think Taiwan people have too many choices. That's so sad.
Do you think it'll lead to full reunification?
I hope so. Eventually. Maybe not right now.
How soon do you think it might happen?
You should ask President Xi. I have no idea. People think about maybe 5 to 10 years. Who knows, maybe sooner than that. But I hope that, you know, it can be like the deal like China has with Hong Kong. Everything in Taiwan would remain the same. There are one country, two system. That's what I hope.
Taiwan exists in a grey area of self-rule and de facto independence from China, without actually claiming outright to be independent. A move that President Tsai Ing-wen knows would enrage Beijing. However, unlike the opposition nationalist KMT party, President Tsai and her independence-leaning government do not accept the so-called 1992 consensus. That's an ambiguous understanding that both China and Taiwan are part of one China, but with different interpretations of what that means. Meanwhile, Beijing is exerting its influence on Taiwan's allies. In the last 3 months, two more countries have cut diplomatic ties with the island. But now let's cross the strait to hear from some young people in Taiwan. I'm in the heart of Taipei, the capital of Taiwan, and I'm with Gino, a local journalist. And Gino, this is a very significant square where we're standing. Tell me a little bit about it.
Right in front of me is this massive white structure that looks like a ginormous pagoda. Inside that pagoda is a giant statue of late President Chiang Kai-shek, who was the leader of the KMT, the Kuomintang Party, that fought against the Communist Party in China in 1949. But the KMT lost and retreated to Taiwan.
I met your mother when I was in Shanghai.
Yeah, you did.
She knew that I was going to talk to you when I got here.
Uh-huh.
And you've both got quite different views about going to live and work in China, because that's what she's doing.
Right.
But you're here in Taipei.
I don't want to go and work in Shanghai because I feel like that means some things that I love will not be with me when I'm there. Being a journalist, I enjoy the freedom of speech. But if I were to work in China as a journalist, there are lots of things that I will be told never to write about. Also, there are things that China have done that I don't necessarily agree with. Its human rights record is probably not the best compared to its neighboring countries.
Your views about the future of Taiwan and your mother's views do differ, don't they?
When she first told me that reunification was going to happen, whether or not I like it, I was like, yeah, you wish. You're only saying that because you yourself like China so much, and I don't like it as much as you do. I can't picture that day when it happens. And I hope that it's not going to be anytime soon, because I feel like if Taiwan were to be, I'm going to say, annexed by Beijing, the way of life here would be drastically changed, impacted, and I don't want that. But things are not looking very promising for Taiwan, and if we lose any more allies, we will be severely marginalized, and I don't think a marginalized nation or a marginalized country can compete in the international arena. And so I have to say that reunification is looking more and more like a reality than wishful thinking.
And this building in front is our library. It looks kind of old, but actually it's built in...
This is Taiwan National University's large leafy campus with its low-rise Japanese colonial buildings. And I've come to meet three students, Tony, Mike and Ricky. As you'll have noticed by now, many people have English as well as Chinese names. They're all studying political science, which means they've got pretty clear views on cross-strait relations.
I'm considering finding a better opportunity in mainland China or other places in the world.
And you too?
No.
No.
But tell me why.
But if I were business studies student, I would be really willing to work there in China. But because I'm political science student, I consider to study or to get a PhD abroad, so I would not consider China.
I wouldn't even consider going to China because I would never risk my freedom for money.
4 years ago, students at National Taiwan University were part of the so-called Sunflower Movement, protesting against a trade agreement between Taiwan and China. This helped sweep the current pro-independence president, Tsai Ing-wen, to power 2 years later. Since then, relations between Taiwan and China have soured.
Our generation are considered as naturally supporting independence. We have a locally rooted mind and we want to stay in our home. But at the same time, as the economic growth is much slower now, there are a lot of young people that are considering to seek a job in China, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they agree on their political thoughts or unification.
Nevertheless, this seems to be a surprising contradiction, pro-independence but willing to move to China. Students are clearly being targeted, with young people needing only average exam scores to get a place at top-level Chinese universities. And they're offering Taiwan's university professors higher salaries to move too.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I went to meet former businessman and now opposition politician for the KMT party, Jason Shi, who views China's incentives package for Taiwanese as extremely provocative, and he's concerned about a brain drain.
Right now, statistics shows that 60% of the graduates want to go work in mainland China. So that's a staggering figure to really observe. The 31 incentive policies to Taiwanese citizens can be seen as a way to lure Taiwan's talent, essentially to poach the core of our strength really away from this island. It is like offering candies to kids, you know, keep offering you candies until you're hooked. You know, that's, I think, the situation we see here.
And what does the Taiwanese government think?
I would think that it's a propaganda method.
A few streets from Jason Shi's office, I met Tian Chin Cheng, who is Deputy Minister of the government's Mainland Affairs Council.
But aren't you concerned that perhaps it's working because an awful lot of young Taiwanese people are very keen to move to mainland China for work after graduating?
We're really concerned about the trend, but in fact, we have collected a lot of failure cases toward our students, our professor, and even our business people.
As well as insisting they warn Taiwanese of the risk of failing in China, He says that only one quarter of China's incentives are completely new, and they have their own projects and subsidies to encourage their young workforce to stay. And as for the future, Tian Qincheng says it all depends on China's own political orientation and whether that changes.
If China can turn into a democratic country, I think the situation could be different. Otherwise, if they keep autocracy, then, since two systems is different, if they give much more pressure to Taiwan, then Taiwan will move, closer to the United States.
Democracy or no democracy, young Taiwanese are going to China. So many who I've spoken to for this programme say they're moving or have moved because there simply aren't the opportunities for them at home, and that China makes it so easy for them. Let's return now to Yi Chun, who I met in Shanghai. How does she view the contrasting political systems?
How I reconcile this conflict in politics within life and career here is I'm just trying to make a living, and I'm just trying to add something on my experience. I'm not fully committed to the place. But in truth, politics always kind of blend in every bit of your life that you can avoid. For example, clients will treat you differently or will see you through different lenses just because you are Taiwanese. And sometimes that's advantage, sometimes it's disadvantage. I'm just trying to make it advantageous for me.
And the opportunities that China has to offer Taiwan's young people could already be shaping the future of the self-ruled island.
And that's all we have time for on this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address, pcjmedia@gmail.com. Do let us know how you heard the program. If it was online, medium wave, FM, or shortwave, or even satellite through the World Radio Network. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.